Amen. We don't know what we're connected to. Being connected directly to the creator of the universe with his amazing character is more wonderful than, I'm convinced, more wonderful than we can comprehend. So we try to take it in bite-sized pieces and grow a little bit. And that'll be what today is. Hopefully we'll grow a little bit in our awareness of our Heavenly Father. So there's a few changes around here physically, emotionally, in the building. Tomorrow starts our vacation Bible school. Our vacation Bible school starts tomorrow at 9:30. The staff will be here at 9 o'clock for prayer and pre-coordination activities. You're welcome to come and volunteer. There's always something to do, whether it's helping the children with their crafts or helping them get down the hallway. That's a challenge sometimes. But we've had well over 80 registered, even in the middle of the last week. And so if you don't have your children registered, please do so. There are smaller flyers out there on the barrel right out the door here. Take some of those with you. Give them to your neighbors. VBS is all week long. You don't have to show up on Monday to be a welcome on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. So if a family or a child can't make it, but a couple or three or whatever days of the week they can make it, that's up to the family. We welcome children any day through the week for God to be glorified and for us to connect with families. What a privilege this is. And please say thank you, right? Can you say thank you? There you go. Thank you to those people who are working so hard, hours and hours and hours and hours of time, meeting after meeting, planning after planning, and still a lot of work to be done. If you want to show up this afternoon, there's almost certainly something you can help with in organizing things, or setting up the craft area, or whatever it might be. Oh, by the way, just a detail, an important detail, we have a co-op that uses our fellowship hall every other Tuesday, and this Tuesday is an other Tuesday. So we're going to have a couple of pallets of their orders, their food, brought in here. We're going to store it in the corner of the room during VBS, and they're not going to come till after 12:30 to organize their food and pass it out. But that's another thing for us to be aware of and considerate toward of what your building and your congregation is able to serve with. Thank you so much. But say thank you to those workers. Find a VBS volunteer and give them a hug and a smile and a deep thank you, because they're doing good work. We are going to be, last week we looked at Ephesians as an overall overview and looked at one part of chapter 4 in more detail, but we're going to look more focused at chapter 1. So here's the review that we went through last week of every spiritual blessing found in chapter 1. Chapter 2 talked about having real life and peace as God's household. Chapter 3 talked about the eternal purpose, an amazing description of grace and love and power, how God provides that for all. Chapter 4 through the first half of chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 4, the first half of chapter 4, the amazingly wonderful unity that we're called to, this beautiful description of unity and maturity that we're called to. The second half of chapter 4 is the call to our walk, how we're supposed to walk on this life, that we're not supposed to act like the world. Second half of chapter 5 into chapter 6, these special relationships we have, marriage and parenting and work relationships that we have that we're doing to God's glory. And finally, the last part of chapter 6, that we are involved. We are involved. You are involved in spiritual warfare, and you need to put on the full armor of God and pray. An amazing book. And so we're going to take it one chapter at a time. So we did that overview last week to kind of bite into it, chew on it, a study on it as an overall letter. We didn't read the whole thing, and we're going to take some time this from here on till we finish the book, taking it one chapter at a time, so to speak, and dive into these amazing, awesome is a good word, awesome teachings that we get here in Ephesians. So this is a good time, first of all, to have your notebook out so you can take some notes, not because of anything I say, but because of what Paul wrote, and to have a paper, a physical Bible in front of you. What I've done in Ephesians and most of the books of the Bible is underlined, circled, drawn arrows, made my own reference notes on the side of a meaning or a connecting verse or whatever. So this is a time to do that. And it's also a good reason to bring a physical Bible with you, not just electronic. You can't exactly circle words on your tablet. You can on some, but it's not as easy and is not as effective in the reading. So I encourage you to get a physical Bible and a notebook in order to take notes in these things. So here is the beginning of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot going on in Paul being an apostle, Paul being a witness of the resurrected Christ, by the way, which was a requirement of an apostle. An apostle had to see and have heard Christ while he was on this earth and then have been a witness to him resurrected. This spelled out at the beginning of the book of Acts. So you can't just elect an apostle in the 20th or the 21st century to be an apostle. It was a physical a witness to Christ himself. And Paul came in from an angle because he started out so strongly opposed to Christ. And he's writing this to you, and you are the saints. You are to the saints. You are a saint. And we have misapplied that word so regularly that just to call somebody a saint would mostly get them to say, oh, I'm no saint, really. I'm a mess. Because we think the word saint means you're a really, really, really good person. You really do everything right. And in fact, what saint means is that you are set aside. You are different from the world. You are somebody specifically chosen or specifically identified. And a saint simply means someone, in a scriptural sense, someone who's covered by Christ. Someone who has been cleansed by Christ, someone who walks following Christ. It doesn't mean somebody who's gone through a selection process of a bunch of people over years and decades of time. It means somebody in Christ. So you indeed are a saint. And Paul is talking to the saints who are faithful. You're faithful. You are faithful in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a minute, the idea of being in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace. Grace is that unearned gift. Grace is the unearned gift that we get from God in Christ. It's the forgiveness of our sins. It's the washing of his blood over our lives. It's the relationship, the reestablished relationship in Christ with God. It's the ability to call God Father. There are very few places in the Old Testament where God is referred to in a fatherly role. It happens, but it's mostly he's called God. Mostly he's called by his proper name, Yahweh. He's called Lord at times, but he's not often called Father. Jesus calls him Father 15 times or so in the Sermon on the Mount alone. In one set of one lesson, Jesus over and over and over. In the first presentation of his message, he calls God Father, Father, your Father, our Father. We have a very, very different relationship with God, and that comes not because we earned it, not because we've done anything, but grace is that gift we haven't earned. And I hope that provides, it's supposed to, and the effect is intended to be amazing and humbling. And out of that, even though the mess we've done in our lives, we get grace and peace. I'm highlighting this verse because Paul uses these words, Peter and John 2, but Paul uses them at the beginning of every one of his letters. Every letter he writes to churches, he identifies that they have grace. He praises them and says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't skim over those words when you read them at the beginning of the letter. Like I said, Peter mentions it as well at the beginning of one of his letters. John mentions it in the beginning of one of his letters. But Paul mentions it in the beginning of every letter he writes. So, I don't want to do that to you. That's tiny writing. And I don't want to do that to you. But in chapter 1, those are the places, and they happen in the first 14 verses, first 13 really. Those are the places where Paul, in the description of this letter, in the description of the message he's giving to the church in Ephesus, I'm going to get past this so you don't have to try to write anything down from this. The 12 times immediately he talks about in Christ. In Christ, in him, through Christ, in the beloved, in him, in Christ, etc. 12 times in 13 verses, he talks about us being in Christ, our connection being in Christ, our faith being in Christ. He talks about one thing after another that is in Christ. So here they are kind of explained, and it's still too small. So I divided it in half. So there's six, and I've got another slide of six. So here's the first six. It's the point. Being in Christ is the point of our faithfulness. The highlighted one we'll get back to is that we have every spiritual blessing. Every is not an easy word for us to understand. But God uses it here. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. You were identified in Christ. That's not predestination. That doesn't take away free will. Every person still chooses their faith. Every person still chooses to follow him. Every person still has to make a decision and a declaration of their own faith. So this doesn't take away any of our free will. It simply identifies that God knows through eternity what's going to happen. God knows. He is not bound by time like we are. God adopts us in Christ, adopts us as his children. You know, adoption is more significant. Many of you families have gone through adoption. Some of you all have been adopted. But it's different than your birth. A husband and a wife having a child through birth is different than looking at a child and saying, I want that one. You're given a child through birth and you're stuck with them. I mean, that was just a joke. And you grow up together. You learn. I remember Carol and I sitting on the couch. We got home from the hospital. We just got home from the hospital. We sat on the couch in our little living room. We're holding this child, this baby in our hands. And we said, now what do we do? Maybe her mom and dad are going to come pick her up somewhere in here, you know. But adoption is a choice. I want that one. You were adopted in Christ. He chose you, even though you chose him. I don't understand how all that works. I just know we still have free will. And the Bible teaches it over and over and over again. We have his glorious grace, his amazing grace in Christ. And we are redeemed in Christ by his blood. Redeemed means paid in full. Your debts are paid. You've been paid for through his blood. The second six of those 12. The second six. He gave us his wisdom and his purpose in Christ. Being in Christ gives you a connection to God's wisdom. Being in Christ gives you a purpose for your life greater than any purpose any human has ever had. In Christ, he shows us that all things, however this works, all things on earth and in heaven will be brought together. I don't know how that works. I don't know how physical that is. I don't know how spiritual that is. I don't know the timing or anything else. All I know is that we, in Christ, he shows us the union of all things. In Christ, we share, tell me where this is fair. We share in the inheritance promised Jesus. Imagine walking into some wealthy person's house and the elder individual has passed on and they're announcing the dividing of the property in the will, and you go and sit at the table with everybody else and said, me too. They go, who are you? I just want to share the inheritance. Excuse me, did you grow up in this family? Well, no, I was just added on recently. We share in Christ's inheritance. I tell you, these things are more amazing. They're more amazing than we can know. We don't even understand what that means, but it happens in Christ. In our position in Christ, we have great hope and great purpose. We've been brought to faith. We have been, by hearing in Christ, we have been brought to faith. And then the last one on that list, in Christ, we are sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit on you as a guarantee, as a statement from God that all these other things and more are yours. I'm telling you, this is more amazing than we can understand. So the next slide is amazing, but not quite the same way. So I just learned this week, talk about small print. That's on purpose. You don't need to read it. It's exactly what your Bible says. But I'm going to read it, and then I'll tell you why I did that. Starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we all acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I know, it's too thick to digest. It's too amazing to understand. But there's a fun reason, a lighter-hearted reason I read that. I learned this week that that was one sentence. From the beginning of verse 3 to the end of verse 14 is one sentence in Greek. Not only is it noteworthy because it's one sentence in Greek, but it is the longest sentence, according to this author that Carol and I were looking at this week. It is the longest sentence in the Bible. Just a detail. A fun piece of information. And when you realize how magnificent the description is, you kind of get the idea the Holy Spirit is trying to give us something rich, amazing to think about. Back to individual amazing. Back to verse 3. This is the one that, although I try to highlight to myself all of the in Christ and in him references there are, this is the one that stops me. This is the one that makes me realize how little I know. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I don't know what English verb style that is, but it's something that already has happened and is continuing. Has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I couldn't even help you with with the meaning of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All aspects of God's character are wrapped up in these words. The fact that God never changes, the fact that God is love, the fact that God's power is infinite, the fact that God's knowledge is infinite, the fact that God is good, and on and on and on and on. All of those are part of every spiritual blessing. But this is why I keep running back to, and Ephesians doesn't do this just in chapter 1. Ephesians does this all the way through. It gives us these teachings that just expand the mind. And I want you to try to do that now. And as you read that this week, I'm going to ask you to read Ephesians this week, Ephesians chapter 1 specifically. And read it slowly, and read it deliberately, and read it with purpose. It's amazing. It's astounding. So in this first part of chapter 1, that one sentence from 3 all the way down to 14, we get this lists of blessings in Christ. We get this list of amazing things that happen in and through Christ. And in the second half, or the last part of chapter 1, you get a very different thing. You get something that's remarkably different. For this reason, what reason? For that list that we just had. For this reason, Paul's writing to the church. So you can take that personally. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. You love each other? Do you love each other? You don't have to answer that. Do you trust Christ? Have faith in Christ? I am not stopping. I do not stop. I do not cease to give thanks for you and remember you in my prayers. And this is the prayer he gives. Ben just read it for us, and that was very deliberate so that we wouldn't just hear it a couple of times. We would hear it more than that. This is the prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness, you're hearing these words, the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things, as head over all things, gave him as head over all things to the church. You're not just a side issue. You're not just, I got to have a place to put Christians when they come to Christ. You're not just a kind of a thought. He put all things under Christ's feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Just the last phrase stops you in your tracks, much less going back to the beginning phrases. That's Paul's prayer for you. And I challenge you this week to go back to that and use it as your prayer. You can simply read it. And if you mean it, even if you don't understand some of the phrases, you can pray it for each other. This is his prayer for you, to the church, that we would have a spiritual, that he would have a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, an expanded awareness, wisdom and knowledge, that our heart, the eyes of your heart, you didn't know your heart had eyes, did you? Now remember, the heart in Scripture is not the center of your emotions. The heart in Scripture is the center of your intent, the center of your character. What drives you? What motivates you? What keeps you going? What is important to you? Let the eyes of that be enlightened. That the awareness of your intention would grow and you'll be more intentioned. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his inheritance, his glorious inheritance, that in fact you get to participate in what, we have this in other verses in the New Testament as well. You know no human being wrote these stuff. No human being wrote this down. This cannot be made up by a human mind and be consistent. The fact that throughout the New Testament, throughout Scripture, these things don't contradict each other. No human being wrote this down. This is from God. What is the immeasurable, the greatness given to us which cannot be measured, the same thing that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is given to you. It's astounding. Far above all rule, far above all rule, all kingdoms, all political power, all financial power, all human power, all worldly power, far above all of that, far above all authority, above every name, is the power that was put in you. And he's given head over all things to the church. And that's why I say, wow. Oh, this is where I get what I like to think of as natural humility. That humility that says, there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot of wonderful things I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get the greatness of God's power. I don't get the eternity of his knowledge. I don't know how he chose me, how he knew me before he created the universe. But he did. He knew exactly. This is the first time this group of people has been sitting in this auditorium. I mean, I know the church meets here every week, but there's somebody here who's never been here before, and there's somebody who's here who wasn't here last week, but the other person wasn't here this week. This is the first time this group of people has been in this building, and yet he knew it was going to happen by name, by time, by thought in your heart. Our God's amazing. And let this be natural humility before you, that you can say, Father, you are so awesome. I have so much to learn. I owe you everything, 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 everything. And it's for the church. It's for us individually, but he's very deliberate that this is his son's body. This is what we're supposed to be doing as a church. I can't possibly do that chapter justice. The infinite descriptions are enough to say that a human mind can't do that chapter justice. But let it drive you. Let it excite you. Read that this week. Pray that prayer starting in verse 17 this week. We're going to jump in. We're going to, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll do chapter 2 next week. You can cheat and read ahead if you want. It's amazing. It is astounding what we have a hold of. If there's any here today who have not chosen to be baptized into Christ, if you have any need that you want the group here to know about and to pray for you, if there's anything we can do to serve you, please let us know. We're going to be standing and singing a song together, and you can come forward and let us know about it.